There's an important theme that we see repeated during the time when Moses was leading the people of Israel. Over and over again, he called on them to remember. Listen to just a few of these statements from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 5:15. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Deuteronomy 7:18-19. You shall not be afraid of your enemies, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, and that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Deuteronomy 15, verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Deuteronomy 16, 2 and 3. Therefore you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it, that is, the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. So over and over and over again, Moses tells the people, don't forget what God has done, especially in redeeming you. Redemption brings responsibility. That's an important truth for us to remember. Redemption brings responsibility. Those who have been redeemed by God must live in a certain way. That redemption brings obligations. Sadly, we read this sad commentary from Judges 8. So it was, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal-Berith their god. Thus, the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. God's people failed to remember, and the consequences were severe. Because of this theme of remembrance in the Old Testament, it should come as no surprise to us that we see this theme again in the New Testament. To the Ephesian believers, Paul writes, "Remember that you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Don't forget the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember where you were when Christ found you. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We must never forget what God has done for us. Luke records for us Jesus' last supper with his disciples. In Luke chapter 22, we read these words, that when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover before I suffer. Jesus here was predicting that he was about to suffer. Now, Jesus has already told them this repeatedly. In fact, in chapter 9 of Luke, Jesus says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." And now, on the eve of his death, Jesus reminds his disciples that he is going to suffer. Jesus then picks up a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he breaks it up into pieces and begins distributing it to his disciples. And he says to them, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup and passed it around and again said, "This is my blood, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus predicts his own death. And as he does this, he makes it clear that he's laying down his life. This isn't some mistake. This isn't some tragic accident that went against the way things were supposed to be. This was all planned out. Jesus said this was going to happen. He is laying down his life, and he gives new meaning to this traditional Passover meal. He tells his followers, "Remember me. As you eat the bread and as you drink from the cup, do this in remembrance of me." I've entitled the message, "Living in Remembrance." Living in remembrance. Jesus says, "Remember me." And I believe that Jesus' purpose in doing this is very similar to what Moses in the days of old was doing over and over again for the people of Israel. He wants them to remember because as they remember, it will affect their behavior. It will change the way they live. We must remember where we were before Christ rescued us. We must remember the great humility of his becoming man. We must remember the physical pain that Jesus endured, all of the torture before he even went on the cross, and that tragic, torturous, gruesome death on the cross. We must remember the emotional heartache as Jesus was rejected by so many, and most of all, even from the cross, as he cried out, "Father, my God, why do you forsake me?" We must remember that it was our sin that placed him there, that God was punishing his Son in your place. We must remember that on the other side of Jerusalem, as Jesus cried out, "It is finished," the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom, giving us access to a holy God through the sacrifice of his Son. And we must remember that our redemption brings responsibilities. Remembering what Jesus has done should transform our lives. This is not just a topic for Christian hymns. This is not just some sacred ritual for God's people. Remembering Christ's life and death should change the way we live. We're going to go to five different scriptures here this evening, very briefly. Let's first go to Gospel of John chapter 15. I'd like to notice five ways that our lives should be transformed as we remember what Christ has done for us. After supper, Jesus is speaking to his disciples right before he is arrested, and he says in verses 12 and 13 of John 15, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Jesus commands his disciples here to love. And to what degree should we as Christ's disciples love others? Well, Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. What's the standard for our love? It is the love that Jesus showed to us. And how did Jesus love us? He laid down his life. In fact, here Jesus says, there's no greater demonstration of love than to lay down your life for someone else. When we remember Christ's sacrificial love, that should motivate us. Not just to be thankful for how the Lord has loved us, but it should motivate us to love others. To love others sacrificially. How can we look at Jesus' love on the cross and not love our brothers and sisters? Let's go to another text, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 42. Mark 10, let's begin reading, verse 42. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus gives a distinct contrast here. The world leads in a way of lording, exerting power over people, exercising their authority to get what they want. Ungodly leaders use their power and position to get. But Jesus says it should not be among you. No, Jesus teaches us a different way to lead. We are called to serve. Even, he says, to be treated as a slave. Sometimes we like to be called servants of the Lord, but if someone treats us as a slave, we get pretty offended by that. And yet, that's what we're called to be. That's what a servant means. That we're to place ourselves under in service to others. And what is our example to follow? Verse 45. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. How can you remember the suffering servant on the cross and at the same time flaunt your power and authority? You can't. Remembering Jesus giving his life for you will help you and motivate you to selflessly give of yourself to others. A third text we'll go to is Philippians chapter 2. In this letter, Paul is warning this church about strife and division. He talks to them about the essential of being unified. God's people must live together in unity. They must live their lives in such a way worthy of the gospel. We must carefully guard the unity in our body as well. He says in verse 3 of chapter 2, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You see, the key to avoiding contention is humility. Paul then focuses our attention on the greatest example of humility. If we're going to be unified, we must be humble. Well, what does that look like? Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to explain how Jesus demonstrated for us humility. Let's keep reading verse 6. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. And coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. How can you remember the broken body and shed blood of Jesus and remain proud? You see, remembering Christ's death is transformational. We go out from this place having remembered the Lord, living differently, living in humility. We must daily live in remembrance of the Lord. And think about what Jesus cried out from the cross. He prayed, "Father, forgive them." Can you remember those words from the cross and harbor bitterness and anger in your heart? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 commands us to put away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking with all malice. Those things do not belong in the life of a believer. So what are we to do? Well, we put those off, and what do we put on? He says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. We are to forgive others and be kind. Why should we respond this way? Why shouldn't we retaliate when others wrong us? Why give grace to those who don't deserve it? Well, actually, that's what grace is, isn't it? Giving undeserved favor. But look at the very end, if you're turned there. If not, that's all right. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We should forgive because we have been forgiven. And we are forgiven because Jesus paid it all on the cross. So God, in Christ's sake, forgives us. He forgives us of our sin. That cross is a gruesome instrument. We have a cross behind us. Many of you have jewelry maybe with a cross, earrings or necklace or maybe in your home. Now would you frame an electric chair and put that in your house? People come to your house. Well, what is that? Oh, that's an electric chair. It's a place where people are executed. They think, wow, that's weird. Do you realize that in the first century, if someone went into someone's house and they had a cross hanging up, people would think, that's disgusting. Why would you do that? Jewelry with an execution symbol on there? That is crazy. People would see Roman crucifixions. They would never put something like that in their home. But why is that symbol special to us? Because it's a symbol of our forgiveness. It was on the cross that Jesus paid for our sins. And so that gruesome symbol becomes a cherished symbol. How can we look upon the cross of Christ and harbor an unforgiving spirit when Christ has forgiven us? We can forgive when we remember that we have been forgiven. And let's conclude by going to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter is a letter written to suffering Christians by the Apostle Peter. He's giving words of comfort and encouragement. These people suffer. The entire letter is about suffering and persecution, but let's begin reading in verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if, because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Peter says, it is commendable before God when we suffer. The Lord is watching. If you are suffering for doing right, God is pleased. God sees this. And of course, that's why we were made, to glorify God. So we can even rejoice that we are able to suffer for Christ's sake. That's what Jesus said. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. But notice what Peter says next, after saying this is commendable to God when we endure suffering. Look at verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Peter says, you were called to suffer. Why? Because following Christ, who suffered for us. Christ suffered. It should be no surprise that those who follow Christ also suffer. How can we remember Christ suffering on the cross for us and not be willing to suffer on this earth for him? And so as we remember Christ on the cross, it helps our response to suffer for him. So this evening, we are remembering the Lord Jesus by partaking of the Lord's Supper. Let's make sure that we are living in remembrance of him. Let's make sure that the cross of Christ is transforming our behavior, our attitudes, our actions. Love, service, humility, forgiveness, and our response to opposition are just five ways that we should live daily in remembrance of him.